Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church in downtown Ottawa. I have been pastoring there for 26 years. One of the things that I love to do is to show God's Word that was written long ago and how it connects to our world right now. Well, I'm glad that you've turned into this radio program this morning. Starting your day off with God's Word is a really good place to start. Of course, if you are not a morning person and you want to re-listen to this or get the manuscript for this program, or if you want to have the person who is the sleepyhead in your house listen to this program, you can get it at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what is happening around Good News Christian Ministries. And I want to say a special welcome to our international listeners who listen via the internet. We're glad that you have found us and that you are finding this ministry an encouragement. This morning I want to tell you part of Gideon's story, and it's found in Judges chapter 6. Judges is in the Old Testament. It's the seventh book of the Bible. It's the story of Gideon, and the story of Gideon starts out messy, and it doesn't end all that great either, but we live in a messy world, and the story reflects many of our lives. As we get to the story of Gideon in the sixth chapter of Gideon, the Israelites have already been through three cycles of turning away from God, being oppressed by an enemy, crying out to God, God sending a deliverer, and the story of Gideon starts the fourth cycle. I find that depressing and encouraging all at the same time. So I look back at my history, I see the same cycle. There have been times when I've been close to God, and it seems like every time I would open the Bible, God would speak to me. The power of the Spirit was evident and miracles were expected. Then either something happens or often it's a gradual cooling. Then the weeds of life grow up and ensnare me, and those weeds can be stress or unconstructive habits or bad attitudes. But over time, it feels like life slides into a pit. Something happens that wakes me up and I look around and say, this is not where I should be. This is not where I want to be. Then I cry out to God, and God delivers. Maybe not right away, but God delivers. I don't believe life has to be that way, but I've experienced that way too many times. Maybe you have too. So we catch up with the nation of Israel in Judges chapter 6, and they're at the bottom of the cycle. Verse 1, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. It tells us how oppressive they were. Verse 3, whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents and like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravish it. The enemy was wrecking the country. They would steal and destroy crops. They would kill the cattle and sheep and donkey. There was nothing left. They ravaged the land. But note the first response of the Israelites, verse 2. They prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. That is so much like us. In the face of things that life brings and the way life oppresses us, we hunker down. We look for the mountain clefts to build shelters in. Our shelters just look different. We build shelters in front of a television that numbs our minds and our emotions. We build shelters in the refrigerator and take refuge in a sea of potato chips. We try to lose ourselves in a maze of extreme sports or the crowds of going out with friends or hobbies. We build a shelter in our office at work and live off of the successes there. There are some of the more socially acceptable ways to build shelters. But you can also try to reinforce ourselves with alcohol or drugs. We can try to lose ourselves in pornography. We can try to get a thrill in gambling. There are all kinds of shelters that we can build in our world. Well, the Israelites were oppressed. Their response was to hide and build strongholds. But finally, it got so bad that in verse 6 it says, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. The human response was to build shelters. The godly response was to cry to the Lord. There is a time when we become so impoverished that we finally turn. It would be better to turn sooner than later. My question to you is, what is your Midianite? Is it depression? Is it super stress at work? Is it a bad marriage or a bad relationship with somebody significant in your life? Is it your singleness? Is it your financial issue? Is it your family? Is it your boss? Is it an addiction or an unhealthy habit? Verse 7 says, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. They finally got to the point where they cried out to the Lord. And when we come to the end of our own devices, that's what we need to do. Cry out to the Lord. We're going to listen to Third Day as they sing the song, Cry Out to Jesus. Back to our story about Gideon. Verse 7, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. What I want is an army. I want a legion of angels to come and smash those Midianites. When I cry out to the Lord, I want him to come in power and deliverance. Instead, he sends a prophet. The prophet basically says, this is what God says. I told you not to turn to other gods, but you have not listened to me. They wanted an army. They got the truth. But that is God's way. You see, truth is the basis of repentance, and repentance is the basis of God's power coming into a situation. That's true with us. The basis of God's work in your life is truth and repentance. Now, that's often a hard concept for us to deal with because we like to blame. It's not our fault. I'm like this because of the situation. It's the bosses. It's the circumstances. Here's some statements made by motorists who were trying to explain why they had been involved in accidents. A pedestrian hit me and went under my car. Or another one said, coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree that I don't have. Or the pedestrian had no idea which direction to run, so I ran over him. Or the indirect cause of the accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. We like to blame. And maybe it's 90% of the other person's fault and 10% ours. But until we deal with our 10%, we shut out the power of God working in a situation. In fact, it is usually not what the other people do to us that puts us in bondage. It's our response to our circumstances that usually is the most damaging to us. If you've never come to Jesus and said, Lord, I see what you've given. I see that you've died on the cross for me. Please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. That, if you've never done that, I would encourage you to do that because that's the first step of unleashing the power of God in your life. See, when you pray a prayer like that, that's trusting to God to do what he said he would do, that step of acceptance and that step of repentance brings you into the family of God and gives you access to the power of God. Well, we've been introduced to the situation. The Midianites are running all over the land and the Israelites have been oppressed. God has sent the truth, and now we're introduced to a man by the name of Gideon. As we meet Gideon, it says Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press as a way of hiding from the Midianites. Usually when you thresh wheat, you do it at the top of the hill so the wind can blow away the chaff. Chaff is like the husks around the kernels. But even on top of a hill, threshing is a dirty job. But Gideon is doing it in an enclosed wine press. The air would be gray with dust particles. His clothing would be covered with dirt. His face would be streaked black with dust attaching itself to the sweat, and then his sweat running down his face. He is trying to keep himself from coughing. And then an angel shows up to this guy who's in hiding, who is coughing, and he says, verse 12, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I'm sure Gideon feels like anything but a mighty warrior. I'm sure he feels helpless in the face of the invading hordes. I'm sure that he feels impotent in the face of 132,000-person army that's camped a little way away. And yet the angel calls him a mighty warrior. People, there is your perspective and there is God's perspective. There is your perspective on the Midianites in your life and there's God's perspective. There is your perspective on the kinds of strength you have and there's God's perspective. And almost without fail, when you are going through dark times of the soul, God's perspective on you is loftier than your perspective on you. In fact, God would turn to you this morning and call you by name and say, you are a mighty warrior. I'm sure a lot of you would say, but you don't know how I blew it last week, or you don't know how much I have failed, or you don't know how much my life seems to be swamped. But this is God's perspective. He has seen the power of the Spirit that lives inside you. He has seized the potential of his promises of the Spirit. And he says to you, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. Verse 13 says, but sir, Gideon replies, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of Midian. The angel had said to him, the Lord is with you. And Gideon responds by saying, the Lord has abandoned us. Gideon was judging God on the basis of his feelings and circumstances. He was judging God on the basis of what he could see. But the Lord knows different. Never judge God from your limited perspective or experience. You will notice that the Lord's reply in verse 14 doesn't try to argue with Gideon. His assurance comes in the form of a command and a question. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? God will not argue with your lack of faith. He issues a command and he asks the question. He says, take the step of faith, and I ask, will you trust me? The command he gives to Gideon is to go in the strength that he has. That's often the command that God will give you. God doesn't ask you to do what you can't do. He asks you to use what you have for him right now. God is not looking for superhuman effort. He's looking for obedience. But Gideon is not convinced. See, he sees the huge army and asks, how can I save Israel? He goes on to say, I come from a weak clan and the weakest family. In other words, I am not leadership material. The point, though, is not who you are. The point is who you are with God. Verse 16, the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. People, when it comes to the Midianites in your life, it's not about the size of your problem. It's about the size of your God. It's not about the past record of failure. It's about the promise of God for the future. It's not about how weak you feel. It is about who you are with God. And it has been rightly said, God plus one is a majority. So note the flow of the story. The Israelites have tried their own way to deal with the Midianites. They've built strongholds. They've hidden caves. Finally, they got so desperate that they cried out to the Lord. When they did, God sent a prophet to speak the truth, which became the basis for repentance. Then God sent an angel to speak his perspective. And now we move on to the next part of the story, learning to hear the voice of God. Verse 17, Gideon replies, I found favor. If I found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. I love that line. You know, the Lord shows up in person, gives an instruction, and Gideon says, give me a sign if that's what you want me to do, if that's really you speaking. Isn't that just like us? We think we know what God is saying, but we're unwilling to trust what we know. The first sign that God was speaking was persistence. Verse 18, please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord says, I will wait until you return. When God speaks, it is his habit to be persistent. Gideon was worried that if he left the room, the Lord would disappear and he'd be left alone. So he asked for a sign of persistence. When you feel like God is asking you to step out in faith, this is usually a worthwhile sign for you to look for. If that persistence is the voice of God, it will be there. It's a good sign because God continues to speak and continues to give conviction in a particular area. Gideon went away. He came back. The Lord was still there. Gideon brought the Lord bread and meat. And now remember, the country is in the middle of a famine. It cost Gideon something to bring this meat and bread to the Lord. Moving out in faith usually does cost us something. Yep. If you think you're going to move against the Midianites of your life without cost, then you need to rethink. It'll cost you something. Not as much as the Midianites are costing you, but it will cost you something. So Gideon brought his offering before the Lord, and verse 20, the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place it on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. And with the tip of his staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Second sign that it was the voice of God was that the offering was received. The rock caught fire. It consumed the sacrifice. Third sign was the angel disappeared. People, when you start following the voice of God, when you start stepping out in faith, strange things will start to happen. Start expecting the unexpected. Things that the rest of the world would call coincidence start to pile up. God is at work. Take steps of faith and then see what God will do. Verse 22. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel, the Lord, face to face. When Gideon finally figured out that this was the angel of the Lord, he started to get scared. When you start knowing that you are dealing with God, there's a knowledge of the sacred that comes over you. And you're not playing at life anymore. You're not playing at faith anymore. You're living in the presence of a living God. And Gideon was starting to figure he was toast. The fear, that's the fear of the Lord. It's something that is lacking in our day, but it is needed to move forward. But as soon as Gideon starts to realize what is going on, the Lord speaks to him again. The Lord says to him in verse 23, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." Notice that the angel had disappeared, but he still heard the voice of God. If you take steps of faith, you will hear the voice of God that is persistent. God is able to speak to you more subtly. It won't be an audible voice, but there's a way that God has to speak to you internally in the place of your spirit. And the Lord's message is peace. So Gideon built an altar, and the altar proclaimed, "The Lord is peace." The text says the altar stands to this day. It was a substantial altar. Gideon was going to remember what God had said to him. So you want to take on the Midianites in your life. We have just heard the story of Gideon, but here you have the Israelites giving up on their own methods of dealing with the enemy and crying out to the Lord. They were hiding in caves. They were building strongholds. And we do the same thing. We numb ourselves through television and through distractions or through addictions, and we hide in our own little strongholds of our own making. But then God says, "I've got something better." And he sends a way of us to get to know him. He sends the truth. We want an army, but he sends the truth. And then the Lord calls us to repentance. He says, "I want you to live in a better way." He gives us the perspective that's needed to start moving towards victory. And then he starts to teach us to hear his voice. First, he teaches us by conviction, a persistent conviction that we need to go and move through to what he's saying we should do. Then there's the unexpected, and then more subtly, God speaks. I believe that God wants you to move against the Midianites in your life. I don't know what that is, but I believe that God wants to speak to you in such a way where the things that are causing you the most anxiety and stress, God wants to take those and speak into them for your sake and for his glory. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for how you meet with people in different ways. Lord, Gideon didn't have perspective. He thought he couldn't see you at work in his situation at all, and yet you called him a mighty warrior. I pray, Lord, that you would allow faith to arise in people who are listening today, that you would speak into their lives and call them out for who they really are. Lord, I pray that they would hear your voice and follow after you, and that they would have faith to believe you in spite of the enemy that is overwhelming in their life. Lord, I pray that you would bring them across the right people and the right places so that they would be allowed to live well for you. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that you turned in this morning, and if Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your faith journey, we'd love to hear your story. You would really be encouraging to us if you dropped us an email or sent a Twitter. You can find those coordinates via the website at www.goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Thank you for listening. This program is on the air by the grace of God and by the donation of many faithful people. Special thanks to people who sponsor the program anonymously. Really appreciate that. If you can help financially, we would appreciate it. You can give by going to the website, or you can make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. You can also be encouraged by the articles that are on our website. My prayer for you is that may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May his Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant, abiding, and accompanying love. Go in peace as we listen to Petra, who sings, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord."
We
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.